That you made it so it's something that we don't have to earn, God. God, we thank you that it was your gift and your sacrifice. And God, we think about the pain that you suffered on the cross. And we think about the fact that at any time and in any moment, you could have saved yourself from that pain and from that sacrifice, God. But you chose love and you chose grace. And God, we stand here before you saying again to you, God, that you are good. And we thank you for your sacrifice and for your unending love for us. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning again. I want just to start by saying thank you to the worship team. It is such a blessing every Sunday that we come here that we're able to worship the Lord in song and music and just to have so much talent. And I also want to thank all of the people that make this body of Christ operate, the ministry leads, the people that serve in leadership positions, and without all of your work for the Lord, this church would not happen. And I also want to thank everybody that is here today. I was on my way into church this morning, and I saw people jogging down the sidewalk, working out, and I saw lots of other people that weren't out because they were still sleeping in, but all of you are here this morning, and so I just want to thank you for being here. Now, to start, I've got a couple of warnings. The first warning is for you parents. If you have a kindergartner, first grade, second grade, or third grade student going into kindergarten, going into third grade, I'm going to have those kids come up here for a couple of minutes, in a few moments, not now, but for a couple of minutes, and it's going to be a grand experiment for all of us to watch and see, and who knows how it's going to go, and I am most excited to see how it's going to happen as well. So just prepare yourselves, get ready, it's going to be quite the experiment. So as far as an introduction is concerned, I'm Kirk Williams. I'm one of the provisional elders that's here at CCC, and my family and I have been here in Thailand for about a year. Now, in addition to driving to church this morning and seeing people working out, another curious thing happened this morning, and that was I was sitting right up here, and the music started to play, and the church service started to happen, and I looked to my left, and I looked to my right, no family. Nobody sitting with me. And I turn around and I look and there they are. And they're like, yeah, we got your back. You go. And I'm like, ooh, is that a bad sign that they know not even to sit with me during this morning? Made me think. But I've been married to Rosie for 16 years. I actually owe her big time. We spent our 15th wedding anniversary on a plane crossing the international dateline in order to come to Thailand. And then we spent our 16th wedding anniversary totally jet lagged. It was the day after we got back from the United States from visiting this past summer. So when you think of really nice people, you think of Rosie for her putting up with that. And I do have three kids. I've got a 14-year-old, an almost 13-year-old going on 16, and I've got a 9-year-old, almost 10, here in a couple of weeks. Now, I also want to freely admit that I have had a lot of advantages growing up, and I don't mean material advantages, I mean spiritual advantages. I had two parents who love the Lord, continue to love the Lord, who serve the Lord, who raised me in a Christian home, and a brother that mostly loved me as we were kids growing up, and that was fantastic, and that was from the Lord. But I realized, even at a young age, that that does not matter. All that matters is my personal relationship with the Lord. Doesn't matter what my parents do. Doesn't matter what my brother does. Doesn't matter if I go to church every Sunday. It matters about that personal relationship. So if anybody has any questions about what that means, please, I invite you to talk to anyone that's here in the church, any of the ministry leads, anybody on the church council, a fellow Christian, just to understand more about that. Now, my kids have a phrase that I love. If you take the word nervous and excited, you put it together and you get nervous-sighted. And I think that sums up my attitude this morning. I am super nervous-sighted. With that in mind, let's just bow our heads quickly and pray. Dear Lord, as we examine your scriptures this morning, as we look at the questions as to why do we do certain things, I pray that you would just bless this message And I pray that you would just bless this entire church body, Lord. Many of us are far from home, and yet, Lord, we know that in you we are always home, because our citizenship, our home, is with you. And just pray that you would bless this morning's activities. Amen. Okay, the question today is, why do we? Why do we do anything? Why do we pay taxes? Why do we go to work? Why do we say certain things? Why do we come to church? Why do we practice communion, which we're going to do later today? Why do we get involved in certain ministries? What we want to do this week and next week is to cover some foundational topics as to why do we do certain things here at CCC. And this morning, I'm going to cover that foundational topic, the first topic that we're going to talk about, in broad brushstrokes. I'm not going to go into a lot of depth. Instead, it's going to just be a rapid fire. I'm going to cover a lot of verses so that we can understand the topic. And I'm going to try to avoid rabbit trails. So if you're not from North America, maybe you don't know what a rabbit trail is, but if you're hiking in the woods, like on the Appalachian Trail or something like that, you've got this trail and it's pretty straight, and you'll see these little teeny trails that go off to the left and go off to the right, and who knows where they go? They look awfully entertaining, and you want to see where it ends up, and I love to get off on rabbit trails when it comes to discussions and talking about things. So I'm going to try to contain myself and stick to the topic. And speaking of energetic little creatures, just like little bunnies, like little bunny trails, now is the time for you to cautiously and in great fear release your kindergartners, first grade, second grade, third grade, and I'm going to have them all sit here, not up on the stage. I don't want them to take over the microphone or anything. Just sit here right in front. Perfect. You got it. Excellent. Okay, now are you guys nervous? Because you're kind of up here in the front and your parents are watching you. Do you think your parents are nervous? Yeah. Yeah, I bet they are too. Okay, I'm going to make this real easy on you just to get started. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions and you answer with either a yes or a no. You think you can handle that? Okay, yes or no. Have you ever been asked a really hard question at church or at school? Yes. Okay, see, that was the easy question, wasn't it? All right. Yes or no question again. Do we ask kids questions to make sure that they are learning? Yes. Okay. I want you to turn your heads and look at the screen here. This is the cover of a very old book. What kind of a story do you think is inside the cover of this book? Yes. The Holy Bible. The Holy Bible. Okay, good guess. Any other guesses? Yes. Greek gods. Greek gods. Okay, a little mythology maybe. Any other? Yes.
About God.
About God. Man, these kids are smarter than I thought. This is amazing. And wouldn't you know, it actually is a coronation Bible, a Bible that they used to bring kings to power. When the kings would make an oath to serve their country and to serve God, they would use this, which is a coronation Bible. So super old, super rare. Okay, another question, but you're going to know the answer to this. What kind of a story do you think is on this page? The Bible. The Bible. I love it. See, they've got the hang of this. Parents, no reason to be concerned. Okay, what do you think this is? Okay, a Bible, a miniature Bible. Okay, what do you think that is? Okay, didn't expect that answer. Okay, I'm going to give you a hint. It's the same as all of the other things that I've just shown you. That is supposed to be the world's smallest Bible. It has all 1.2 million letters of the Old Testament etched onto it, and you have to use an electron microscope, a super powerful microscope, in order to read it. Oops. And what do you think that is? Yeah, that is a huge Bible. I just learned this morning that there is a huge Bible here in Thailand at GES, but this is supposed to be the world's largest Bible. It weighs 1,094 pounds. I'm sensing a future math major here. Yes, that's like half a ton. It's about almost 500 kilograms. Okay, now, we've seen lots of different Bibles. What about this? What's this? A phone with a Bible. Okay. What's this? Action Bible. My kids love this. It's fantastic. And lastly, what is this? Okay. Now, help me out here. I'm a little confused. There's lots of different kinds of Bibles. Are they all the same inside when you read them? Okay, let me ask the question in a different way. Are the truths that are inside each of these kinds of Bibles the same? Yes. Does the cover matter? No. Does it matter if I have a book or if I have a digital device? No. Does it matter?
No.
Is the truth the same?
Yes.
Okay, the truth is the same. So we study the Bible to learn those truths so that we can grow and mature. All right, can I get a round of applause for the kids? And you can head back to your seats. I really thought with that fancy Bible at the beginning, the Coronation Bible, that they would not know what it was. And I thought they would answer all kinds of crazy things. But boy, they showed me. All right, so the material that I'm going to go over this morning is taken from personal study, some discipleship courses at my home church back in Virginia, New Tribe Missions, a variety of sources. And they've been put together specifically for us this morning so that we can understand this foundational topic of why do we study the Bible? All right, can somebody give me a check that in your bulletin there was an actual little handout? Okay, fantastic. So you can follow along with that as we go through some of the points, but I'm going to totally cheat and I'm going to give you the first three main points up front, and that is, why do we study the Bible? Because it is the Word of God, because it reveals God, and it is because it's what we need. Okay, so, because it is the Word of God, this is what I mean. It is authentic, reliable, and not the creation of a man. And since we're talking about why we study the Bible, we're going to read a lot of it this morning. So if you've got your Bible with you, please feel free to use it. Again, if you've got an electronic device, please feel free to use it. I'll also read all the verses that I'm going to go over from the front up here. So let's start with the basics. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's from the NIV. And I like what the King James Version has. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so your first fill in the blank there is that all scripture is God-breathed. This is why we study the Bible, because it is not from a single man, it is from God. This means that God, through the Holy Spirit, inspired every single writer at a specific time for a specific message, for a specific purpose. Okay, next, 2 Peter 1, verses 15 to 21. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure you will always be able to remember these things, for we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So again, we do not follow cleverly devised stories. We do not follow cunningly devised fables. We are reading and studying the truth as the Holy Spirit has revealed to people. Now, God crafted the Bible through the Holy Spirit over a period of 1,600 years. That's the time it took for all of the scripture to be written and compiled, using over 40 different authors. So think about this. How hard would it be to get 40 different people over that time span, based on all of those years, to agree on anything? And this is proof that the Holy Spirit has inspired these authors during that time period for the creation of the scripture. And unlike cleverly invented stories, scriptures are, of course, the inspired word of our almighty and living God. Okay. Continuing on, point number two, we study the Bible because it reveals God. The Bible reveals the traits of God over time. It is His story. And I like to remember this because you take the word history and you just break it in half. It is His story. God did not reveal everything in the beginning in Genesis. Rather, it has been done over a long period of time. It reveals who He is, what He does, what He is like, His personality, His plan, as it continues to unfold. Jeremiah 9, 23 to 24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. So we find that by reading the Bible, it reveals things about God, that God's traits include kindness, justice, and righteousness. Now, this is an important point because God is completely different from people. We aspire to have these traits, but we fail continually to show true justice, to show true kindness, to show true righteousness. John 4:24, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So another important point here, God is not the force. It's not like from Star Wars. He's not just something that's out there. He's not the man upstairs, but he is spirit. He is not limited by physical matter because he created all physical matter. So he is completely different from us. And God reveals in this passage that he is spirit. Okay, Isaiah 40, 28. Do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired. He will not grow weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. God reveals that he is everlasting. Again, completely different from people. Okay, the next verse we're going to look at is Jeremiah 23, 23 to 24, which says, am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in the secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, declares the Lord? God reveals that he fills the heaven and the earth. His glory, his majesty fills everything that we know and see and understand. Again, totally different from people. We don't have that capability. Psalms 139, 7 to 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, Surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. God reveals that no matter where you go, no matter where you travel, no matter what state you are in, that you cannot flee from him and his presence and his knowledge. Okay, our last verse in this section, John 20:31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So this is to reveal his plan of redemption to mankind through Christ. God reveals that Jesus is the Christ so that we may have life. Now, if you think about how long all of those authors took to write all of those books and how long God takes to reveal each of his attributes. If we only had Genesis, we would not have a complete understanding of his righteousness, his patience, his love for us. But as Scripture continues to reveal over time, we now know that Jesus is the Christ and that he has provided Christ so that we may have life. Okay, and that takes us to our third point. You can see the little character. He's now got the truth of the Bible with the image of carrying the light bulb around. Why do we study the Bible? It is because it is what we need. One way for us to understand the Bible and why we need it is to compare to other things that we understand and need. And the Bible itself does this in many different ways. And the Bible does this through metaphors. So to show how much I need spiritually, I'll demonstrate to you how much I need physically. Just to do my job. Every day I go to work and I need a lot. I need a computer monitor. I need a mouse. I need a keyboard. Electricity. I need electricity. Air conditioning. Sometimes it's for me, sometimes it's for the computers. I need air conditioning. I need servers. I need networks. I need communications gear. I need a building. I need furniture. I need a desk. I need a chair. Whoo! The list goes on and on and on. The metaphor here is that I need a lot to do my job. In the same way, I need a lot in order to do what I should be doing spiritually, in order to grow spiritually. And so God provides us the Bible so that we have what we need. All right, I've got a little table here. I've got the little chart on your handout as well, and we're going to do it in sections of two or three verses. So the first one is Psalms 19:7-10, and I'm going to cover these metaphors that the Bible uses to describe itself. Psalms 19:7-10. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And the second verse here in this section, Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path. So the objects of these metaphors are the gold and the honey and the lamp and the light. Obviously, the gold is very valuable and the honey is very sweet and nourishing. And the lamp serves a very specific purpose of illuminating your path one step at a time. These are metaphorical pictures as to what the Bible is. Okay, next couple of verses. 1 Peter 2:1-2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Hebrews 5:11-14. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the objects that we have here are similar. We're talking about baby's milk, solid food, and bread. These are all things, metaphorically speaking, that we need to sustain ourselves physically in the same way God provides the Bible to sustain ourselves spiritually. And the Bible, just like baby's milk, takes on different forms for us as we read it based on where we are in our spiritual walk. Okay, last section, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And James 1:23 to 25. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Okay, so the objects here are a double-edged sword, which penetrates, divides, and judges, and then also the perfect mirror, the perfect law, that reveals our own imperfections as our lives are transformed and also reveals our beauty as we continue to grow and mature in the Lord. Okay, and finally, under this topic, we have 2 Peter 3:17 to 18. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. God knows that we need to grow in grace and in knowledge. All right, so studying the Bible enables our spiritual growth. God wants you to grow. God wants me to grow. God wants us to be disciples, sharing his love with others. As humans, we use a variety of ways to study the Bible so that when life happens, we are ready. Got that cute little image of the guy, he's dropped his precious light bulb, and life has happened to this guy, right? Now what does he do? Now what does she do? This is why we study the Bible, so that we are prepared when life happens. Now, in this topic of why do we study the Bible, we do it in a variety of means and in a variety of settings. So we do it like we're doing here this morning, right? We do it corporately. We are sitting in a church together. We are all getting a unified message, and that is one venue. But that's not the only venue. We also do it by ourselves, quiet times, maybe a quiet time in the morning or before you get ready to go to sleep, reading the Bible, seeing what the Lord has revealed to you. Family times, whether it's at a meal or before the kids are going to bed, that's another opportunity in order for us to read scripture and understand what God is revealing to us. And quite often, we do it in something that we at this church call life groups. Why is this relevant? Okay, so today we looked at why do we study the Bible. Next week we're going to look at why do we do this thing called life groups. Why do we as a church think that it is important? So that will be the second part of this two-week message. So in closing, these are some basic and foundational reasons as to why we study the Bible here at CCC. Because it is the Word of God, because it reveals God, and because it is what we need. Make sense? Foundational topic. Why do we even bother to study the Bible here at CCC? And hopefully these scriptures and these passages make it clear that God has a clear and distinct purpose for us to have the scriptures so that we can grow spiritually and help others grow. So as the worship team prepares to come up for music, let's go ahead and close our eyes and bow our heads. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for this message. I pray that you would just continue to bless this church and that as we continue to study your word, that we would understand and that we would know what your will is. Amen. And